This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Well, bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council on Joy 94.9.
Joy. Good evening, everyone. This is Well on Joy 94.9. My name is Jessie, and tonight I am on with Text as my co-host. We're from the Victorian AIDS Council, and welcome to our Monday evening show. Text, how are you this lovely evening?
Yeah, I'm Jessie, as always. I'm really well. I hope you're well too.
Of course, and I'm glad to have you here with me. It's been a while since we've been together in the studio.
Indeed, it is.
So please do tell our lovely listeners what we have coming up in the next hour.
Well, this evening we have Maura Connolly from Breast Screen Victoria joining us to talk about the importance of breast screening for women. We'll also touch on cervical cancer screening and the Lesbian, Bisexual and Queer Women's Conference that happened last Friday. Now, Jessie, I believe you were at the conference?
I was, actually. I was at the conference. I wasn't attending the whole thing, but I actually facilitated a session, and it was a session on sex toys. So the girls from Max Black came down from Sydney, and they showed us all their lovely dildos and toys and talked about safety and care and sexual health, which was really interesting, actually. So I actually really enjoyed it.
And I believe there were lots and lots of women and a few men at the conference.
Yeah, no, it was great. It had such a good turnout, more than last year, of course. And so, yeah, we're really happy with the event and how it went down.
Well, that's great. Really good to hear.
Yeah. So there also was a significant moment for the gay community last week. Premier Daniel Andrews made a public apology for the historic gay convictions. Now, I think you went, didn't you, Tex?
I was there. It was a real honour to be there because it was history-making. It was a really history-making moment.
Yeah.
It was in the It was in Parliament.
We'll get there, yes.
It was in Parliament, and there weren't a great deal of seats for people to actually sit in the Parliament and see the apology happen. But in Queen's Hall, which is immediately adjacent to the Parliament, Parliament building, there were about 200 to 300 people who had especially turned up to be there witness the apology, the state apology. And as you say, it was for the times when being homosexual was illegal. And last year there was this law passed which meant that men who had been charged and convicted and had a conviction on their had a police record, if you like, saying that they had been charged, were able to expunge their convictions. And this was the state government speaking on behalf of the state parliament and the people of Victoria, apologising to all the people, all gay men, who had lived when being gay was illegal. And as I'm of an age, I am one of the people, if you like, who lived through that time when it was illegal to be gay. Now, the decriminalisation happened in 1980, but I'm a bit older than that.
It must have been quite powerful.
It was a very powerful day.
Was it quite emotional? What was the atmosphere like over there?
The atmosphere was there were people in tears, but there was also a standing ovation. And when the parliamentarians came out of Parliament into Queen's Hall, the crowd just erupted in applause applauded all of the politicians, because all of the politicians of every party joined in. So the leader of the opposition, the leader of the Nationals, leader of the Greens, leader of the Sex Party, all stood up and made this a similar apology so that it came from the entire Parliament. And it was a very moving, very, very exciting time to be there. I say, it was history-making.
Absolutely. Sounds like it was very powerful.
Yeah.
I wish I was there. I did manage to see the live feed, so that was really good. But I'm glad you went and had a good time.
And look, if people want to see the apology, just type in Victorian State Apology, Daniel Andrews, perhaps the word gay, and then there are a plethora of sites that will come up. And you can also then put your earphones on or pull out the plug and hear the Premier speaking that apology and all of the other leaders of the other parties in the state.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you guys have missed out on any of the last shows for Well, 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 or you just want to hear a show again or share it with your friends, you can always download the podcasts of previous episodes of Well, Well, Well. If you just jump onto the website, which is www.joy.org.au. So Tex, please do let our listeners know how to get in touch with us on the show, or if they want to get involved in the conversation, or if they've got any last-minute questions they'd like to send through to us whilst we're in the studio.
Well, it's really easy, peeps. You can email onair@joy.org.au, or you can SMS, send a text to Tex, 0427-JOY-949. And both the emails and the texts come to us straight here in the studio, so we can address those issues or questions or any points that you want to bring up as they happen. So let your fingers do the talking and email us or send an SMS.
Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. You're with myself, Jesse, and Tex. And chatting with us now is Maura Connolly from Breastscreen Victoria. Maura, welcome. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks.
Thank you so much for coming on the show with us and chatting to us this evening. Now, just to start off, could you please tell us about Breastscreen Victoria and your role there?
Sure. So Breastscreen Victoria is a government program and we provide free breast x-ray screening. We call them breast screens. And we send invitation letters to women aged between 50 and 74 every 2 years to come and have a free breast screen with us. So the aim of breast screening is to find small cancers. So find them before they can be seen or felt. And the earlier breast cancers found, the better your chance of a cure or at the very least of surviving it.
Yeah, sure. And what is one of the biggest or some of the biggest risk factors for breast cancer?
Sure. Well, the problem for us is that everybody thinks the biggest risk factor is family history. And that actually puts a lot of women off coming and having screening if they don't have breast cancer, a history of breast cancer in their family. But in fact, the biggest risk factor for breast cancer is growing older, and most women who are diagnosed with breast cancer have no family history. So that's the reason we invite women aged between 50 and 74 every 2 years, because they're in the highest risk age group.
And Maura, how common is breast cancer amongst women?
So sadly, breast cancer is the most common cancer affecting women in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
One woman in every eight will get breast cancer in her lifetime. So that's why it's really important from a young age that women learn how to check their breasts. And then once they turn 50, we invite them to come and have a regular breast screen with us.
Yeah, one in eight is really high. That's a lot higher than I expected, to be honest. Why do you think there's not that much, you know, news out there about it?
Well, probably because, as I said, most breast cancers are actually found in older women, and the news media, I guess, and magazines aren't particularly interested in stories about older people getting cancer.
Yeah.
So our problem is this issue that most of the stories that are out there are actually about tragic stories of very young women getting breast cancer, but that's very rare and uncommon. In fact, you know, our message to young women is encourage your mother to go and have breast screening. That's the age where women are at greatest risk of getting breast cancer.
And when a woman wants to get a breast cancer screen, what's the process? You know, do they have to make an appointment? You know, is it free? You know, do they need a Medicare card? How do they get the results? You know, all those sorts of the practicalities, if you like.
Sure. Well, we try and make our services as easy to access and as inclusive as possible. So all our clinics are run by women, for women. You don't need a doctor's referral.
Mm-hmm.
You can call us to book an appointment. We have a contact centre. Or you can go online 24 hours a day and book your appointment. We have a choice of about 40 screening clinics right around Victoria, and you can choose the clinic that's most convenient for you. And when you come to BreastScreen, we don't ask you for any details about your gender identity or your sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
And all our services are free. We don't ask for a Medicare card, we don't ask for proof of permanent residence in Australia, anything. We just ask for an address to send your detail, your results to.
That's excellent. And if results do show something abnormal or presence of anything, what is the treatment process?
Well, I guess the first step is if you have a breast screen and when the health professionals reading that find an abnormality, we'll call you back to one of our assessment services for some further tests. Now, most women who have that experience, the abnormality is ruled out as cancer and they're sent home within a couple of hours. A very small number of women who are called back will actually be told they have breast cancer. And in that case, a doctor will explain the test results and what happens next. While BreastScreen doesn't treat women with breast cancer, we'll help you to arrange this by contacting your GP or referring you to a public breast clinic. The treatment for breast cancer can include, obviously, surgery, which everyone's heard about, chemotherapy, hormone therapy. The really good news for women is that there have been significant improvement in treatments in the last 20 years, to the point now where most women who have a breast cancer diagnosis, particularly where the cancer is found early, have their treatment and then they go back to living their normal lives. So it's been a really good news story. So there's not the need to feel frightened about a breast cancer diagnosis that there once was.
Yeah, absolutely. And you really just encourage a lot of people to go and get it done because, you know, people will think, oh, I'm not at risk or it's not going to happen to me.
Well, that's right. Nobody wants to think about cancer.
Mm.
But I guess what our message to women is it's part of being healthy as you're getting older. There's a whole lot of tests that you need to do. Yeah, Tex is raising his hand in agreement for that one. And you know, your doctor will send you for regular blood tests, a whole lot of other different screening tests. You go and do your exercise, your 10,000 steps, your walking or whatever it is every day to keep you well and healthy so you get to enjoy the rest of your life with your family and friends.
Mm.
Now, Mel, you mentioned that the treatments are really good, how they've improved over the years. Are there still any side effects, though? And if so, you know, are there common side effects, I guess?
Yeah, sure. Look, I guess breast cancer treatment's not really my area of expertise. Mm-hmm. I guess to say that screening aims to find cancer when it's really small, and the smaller the cancer is, the less severe treatment you'll have. So, for example, most of the women who have their breast cancer diagnosis through BreastScreen won't need to have a mastectomy. In other words, they won't need to have their complete breast removed. They'll have what's called a partial mastectomy or a lumpectomy. And, you know, a lot of women end up with just radiotherapy. Chemotherapy, I think everyone's heard of the side effects of that. But as I said, we're aiming to find breast cancer early and minimise the amount of treatment that women need.
Now, if women have had breast implants, how is the screen done then? You know, is there are there certain things like, you know, there women who are self-examining and they have a breast implant, does that impede the self-examination?
Okay, so from the point of view of screening, maybe I'll talk about that first. So breast screening is an X-ray, and and so the problem is you can't see the breast tissue through the implant.
Mm-hmm.
But if women, including trans women, have implants, and we can screen them, and what needs to happen is they might have a few extra films because the breast implant will need to be pushed very gently to one side so we can actually see the breast tissue underneath it. So it's certainly possible, but we urge women with implants to have a chat with their doctor before they come.
Interesting. Oh, correct me if I'm wrong. I thought X-rays, you know, they needed the bone density in order to see anything. I didn't think X-rays were sensitive enough to actually detect abnormalities in tissue makeup.
Yes,
but, no. I mean, apparently they are, which is surprising to me.
In fact, breast tissue looks like cotton wool, white cotton wool on the breast screen.
Yeah.
On the screen. As a woman gets older, the density of that breast tissue becomes less, so it becomes more opaque, so you can see abnormalities more easily, which is one of the reasons we don't offer screening to younger women, apart from the fact that they are at much lower risk of developing breast cancer. Their breast tissue is so dense that you can't actually see the tissue through it.
Okay. Hey, and so what about individuals who are transitioning? Do they have greater risk factors? And what do we know about that and the use of hormone therapy?
Okay, so there's in fact, sadly, very little information about breast cancer risk and people who are transitioning, particularly trans women. We know anecdotally that trans women do come to our screening services and have breast screens, and occasionally if an abnormality is detected, they would be recalled to one of our assessment services. And I guess the issue for those women is they're not really sure whether they should be screened, how often, what the effect of the hormones is, and we don't have, at the moment, a lot of information. That's certainly one of the areas that we're keen to find out more.
Great. Thanks for that. We'll be right back. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and you're with Jesse and Tex. And we have had a message come in, Jesse. It says, "Dear Well, 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 dearest Tex and crew." This is very sweet. Well, but then it goes on to say, while there's little sympathy for people in jail, and with the state apology last week, it's rather sad that many prisoners who are gay and who may have HIV are treated abhorrently and or struggle to get access to their antiretroviral medication. They suffer sexual abuse and assaults to this day. And that's signed Auntie Vera. So thank you, Auntie Vera. It's nice to get your comment, but it was really important to get that apology, and those sorts of issues should really be taken up with the prison authorities so that the people in charge can know what is happening in the prisons.
But nonetheless, thank you for messaging into the studio. We are back with Maura Connolly from Breast Screen Victoria, and we are continuing the conversation about screening, but let's briefly talk about cervical cancer. Now, what exactly is cervical cancer?
So cervical cancer is cancer of the cervix, which is at the top of the vagina in women, and it's usually caused by the human papillomavirus. We call it the HPV virus for short, and it's spread by genital skin-to-skin contact, and this includes female-to-female sex.
Great. So is there a process here when it comes to cervical cancer screening? Like, I used to live in New Zealand, and as soon as you turned 18, it was mandatory for every female 18 years and above to get a pap smear once every 2 years. Is that a similar situation here or not?
Okay. So I don't work for Pap Screen Victoria, so what I'm telling you is, to the best of my knowledge, there is a cervical register, and on it all the details of your pap smears would be kept, and you'd be sent an invitation letter or a reminder every 2 years to have a pap smear. And in case the listeners don't know what that is, it's a very quick, simple test at the moment, where they test the cells in the cervix. They take a little sample of the cells. In the future, they're actually going to be testing for the HPV virus itself, so that'll make the test slightly different. And our advice is, if you're over 18 and you have a cervix and you've had any sexual contact, you should be having a regular pap screen test.
And if anyone out there is worried, I've had several pap smears. It's not hugely invasive or worrying. Honestly, it feels like a little scratch. So if that's something that's stopping you guys from going, please don't let it. We'd really do encourage you. But what are some of the major risk factors for cervical cancer?
Well, the biggest risk factor for cervical cancer is actually not having a Pap screen test every 2 years.
Sure.
Because the great thing about the Pap screen test is it finds abnormal cells in your cervix before they turn into cancer if you're having the test done regularly. So that's the best thing you can do to protect yourself from cervical cancer is actually just to have regular Pap tests. Other risk factors, sadly, like breast screening, is increasing age. With, I think, about half the cases of cervical cancer being in women over 50. And women who smoke are also at greater risk of developing cervical cancer.
So is there anything else that you wanted to add with regards to cervical cancer or screening in general?
Yeah, sure. One of the things that's a very common myth about cervical screening is that the HPV virus is less common in lesbians, and some lesbians, in fact, have been told by their doctor that they don't need to have a Pap screen test because, you know, kind of like nuns, you're not having sex, so,
mm-hmm. you know. It's just a bit ignorant,
yeah,
isn't it?
So, in fact, there's no evidence that the rate of HPV infections is lower in lesbians. Anyone who's had sex can have HPV. And seriously, the best thing you can do is have regular Pap screens if you ever have sex.
Absolutely. So. Thanks. We'll be right back. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
We are continuing the conversation with Maura Connolly from Breast Screen Victoria. So, Maura, in your experience, have lesbian, bisexual or queer women have less of a healthcare-seeking behaviour than heterosexual women?
Yes, there's definitely evidence that that all those groups, the LGBTIQ, all those different diverse groups of sexualities have lower screening rates of cancer and tend to do basically go and see their healthcare practitioners less frequently.
Mm.
So, in fact, there's been some recent Australian research that's found that older lesbian and bisexual women in particular are less likely to have regular breast and cervical screening tests and are also less likely just to check their breasts regularly.
What factors do you think affects this? What reasons could there be? I mean, is it, as you said earlier, is it likely that doctors are saying, you know, you don't need to check for cervical cancer, for example,
but for
other issues as well?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a range of issues. In fact, there's been some interesting recent research that the Cancer Council did with some researchers from La Trobe Uni,
mm-hmm.
where they surveyed a group of LBQ women about their screening experience with cervical screening. And that found some really clear evidence that what you're talking about, which is the level of knowledge of the health practitioner, is definitely a factor, not only from the fact that women felt that they weren't being given the correct advice about screening, but also that they felt they had to explain themselves and explain their gender identity, which they didn't want to have to do. They expected that the health practitioner would have a level of understanding themselves, which they... Yeah, so that's a very frustrating thing. I guess this isn't so much an issue. I'm talking here, I guess, a little bit about both breast and cervical screening programs. So some of my answers are a bit more relevant to one than the other. While in breast screen, we don't ask women to... any questions about their gender identity or their sexuality. When a woman goes for a Pap screen, there will sometimes be questions about her sexual history that she may not want to answer or find difficult. So that issue about being unsure about coming out to your healthcare providers is definitely a barrier for some women. And I guess just simple things like embarrassment. I mean, Jesse mentioned discomfort or pain, mm-hmm. which is definitely an issue for some women, but just feeling uncomfortable about maybe sharing a non-normative body or not sure about what their healthcare professional's reaction is going to be. Mm-hmm. That's also a barrier. Cost's another barrier for some women. So all breast screening services are free, but it's definitely a good idea if that's a barrier for you with cervical screening to call and ask what the cost of the test is if you book in for an appointment with your provider, because some providers will bulk bill, which means you're not going to be out of pocket for that service.
So what do you think we could do, or have you got any thoughts on how we could really improve the health of lesbian, bisexual and queer women, or possibly improve their experience? I mean, I know ideally we would go to all healthcare professionals and put them through some kind of sensitivity training, but us as a community, us who are working in the sector, do you have any ideas as to what we can do?
Well, that's where I think the Rainbow Tick, which Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria has developed, that Project F, which where Breast Screen Victoria is now going through, means that there's a whole lot of factors that we can have a look at. We can look at our policies and our procedures, the level of training and knowledge of our staff. We can look at whether what's actually happening in our services. There's so many different things, and that project helps you to identify and work through them. And then at the end, there's an external group of accreditors who come in and accredit your program. And at the end, we can put up a rainbow tick next to our name and say, yes, we've gone through a really rigorous project and process and made sure that all our staff are suitably trained and experienced. All our services are inclusive for LGBTI women. So that's definitely one really good way. I mean, I've also urged any listeners to have a look at websites like ACON in New South Wales. I know it's a cross-border program.
That's okay. That's all right.
But
that's fine.
They, for example, have just launched a really fantastic program called Touch, Talk and Test.
Yeah, I saw that.
And which is using social media to promote breast screening to the community. And I think over 200 women in the community have agreed to have their photos taken and posted, and just representing the full diversity of the community. So that's an example of a really great project that we're actually planning to get involved with, because we think there's nothing more powerful as a message to women to have people who they trust, people in their community, telling them, saying that, yes, screening's important. Mm. We're doing it. You should do it too.
Yeah.
Now, where can people get more information? So is there what's the website, for example, for the organisation that you're from?
So Breast Screen Victoria's website is breastscreen.org.au.
That's easy.
And, yeah, that's very easy. And Pap Screen Victoria also has a website with a similar name. And so you can go to both of those websites and find out more about the screening programs. Pap Screen also has, for example, a list of service providers that you can have a look at and choose someone in your area if you're not aware of someone.
Okay. Cool. I just want to plug those again. So that's breastscreen.org.au and that is papscreenvictoria.org.au.
I think so.
If not, just search Papscreen Victoria. Yes, I'm sure you'll come up with it quite easily. So we'll be right back after this. You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Radiothon is only 4 days away. Get out, loud and proud and strengthen the voice of your community. Now more than ever, Joy is critical in voicing the issues affecting our community while still bringing you entertainment and lifestyle programming that keeps us uplifted. By signing up or renewing your membership or donating to Australia's only LGBTI community radio station, you'll become a part of the Joy community. So get out, loud and proud this radiothon and strengthen the voice of your community. Visit joy.org.au. Radiothon 2016, June 3 to 10. You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9 with Jesse and Tex. And we have been listening tonight to some of the songs from Dami Im, who was the Eurovision contestant for Australia, and she got it up to second place, which I think was pretty sensational. What do you think, Jessie?
Yeah, I thought it was amazing. I remember seeing her on the original show, Australia's Got Talent, and she was absolutely mind-blowing. So, I mean, I think she should have won, but, you know, maybe I've got a bit of a biased opinion because I live in Australia now.
Indeed. Now, joining us today, of course, tonight, of course, is Maura Connolly from Breast Screen Victoria. Now, Maura, you went to the Lesbian, Bisexual and Queer Women's Conference that happened on Friday. How did you find it?
It was great. It was my first time at the conference. I know it started last year and I mm-hmm. didn't get to go then, but it was great. And I guess what I particularly liked was that it was a mixture of, there were young activists, there were academics, there were service providers. It was just a great mix. So you got to hear all those different voices.
Yeah, yep. It really was.
And did you have a favourite session, something that really struck with you?
Yes, in fact, it was my first session, which mm-hmm. was, it didn't have a very promising title. It was called Creating Transfeminine and Gender Diverse Inclusive Policies.
Yeah.
But it was really inspirational. The two young people who were delivering the session were so passionate about really challenging services to look beyond the usual stuff, which was, you know, writing a policy and a process and a procedure mm-hmm. and putting them in a folder and then pronouncing the work's been done. They were really saying things like, well, you know, where are your proactive spaces? Where are the things where you're not just sitting back and reacting? Where's you actually going out and making a really big effort to transform your workplace and your environment? For people in the community. It was just fantastic. And they collected everyone's contact details at the end, and they're setting up a network where services who are working in the space can share ideas and find out about what everyone's been doing, so everyone doesn't have to sit in their own organisation and reinvent the wheel and think, oh, I need a transgender policy, or I wonder what other people are doing about, you know, consumer representation. They can all learn from each other. It was fantastic. And as someone who's worked in health for quite a while, it was just great to hear two such really young, energetic people.
Now, I imagine you've been to a few conferences over your years. Was this a different sort of conference, having such enthusiasm from presenters?
Yeah, and I think just that, getting that mix of having a lot of young people who were basically activists mm-hmm. at a local community level coming in, and a lot of the sessions were interactive enough that the presenters were really comfortable having people just put up their hand and tell a little bit about their story or their point of view, or challenge the presenters in some cases by saying, oh, well, I don't really agree with that. From my perspective,
sure.
In my circumstances, it's different. So that was really great. It wasn't just a procession of academics trotting out their research or worthy people talking about their particular project.
Absolutely. And so would you encourage women to go next year?
Definitely. Like, I thought VAC did a fantastic job
Yeah.
of organising the conference.
Well, now in conjunction with ACON, of course.
In conjunction with ACON, that's right. And I also hear, even more attractively, it's in Sydney next year. So.
Travel.
Exciting, right. Yeah.
Possibly better weather.
So. Yeah. Well, I think that's going to us drawing to a close. Maura, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on air, and Tex definitely agrees.
Indeed.
And thank you so much. We'll be right back.
Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9 with Jessie and Text. text and text. And, of course, that was Dummy Im, the Eurovision contestant, singing the songs of the Carpenters. So singing music that's very close to my heart.
And mine. I actually grew up listening to that, you
really?
Know.
Really?
Because my dad used to play them for me.
Oh,
and
super.
That first song, the They Long to Be Close to You, he used to sing that to me as one of my bedtime lullabies.
Oh, isn't he gorgeous?
Which was nice.
Good on Jesse's dad. Now, Jesse, we need to give a big congratulation to the Melbourne Chargers rugby team. They were in Nashville, Tennessee, and on the weekend they won the Bingham Cup. Now, the Bingham Cup was named after one of the people who was involved in the 9/11 tragedy in the USA. They played against the Sydney Convicts, so it was an all-Australian final, despite there being 40 teams from around the world, and of course most of those, I imagine, would have been from around the USA, but there were teams from all over the world who were in the competition. So massive congratulations to the Melbourne Chargers rugby team. I've seen some of the photos on Facebook of them holding up the cup, and it's great to know that the cup will stay in Australia, because last year it was won by the Sydney Convicts. I can't remember. I think it might have been in Sydney last year.
I think you're right.
And all the teams came to Australia to compete. So really sensational.
We beat Sydney this year, and that's what matters.
And it's staying here in Australia.
Indeed.
It's been a great show tonight. Maura was fantastic.
Indeed, yeah. I thought it was really, really good.
And really interesting for this gay man to hear a lot about cervical cancer and about breast screening as well.
Absolutely, which is good because we need to have more conversation when it comes to women's health.
Indeed.
So I think that was definitely a good move in the right direction.
Now, Jesse, next week, next show on next Monday night will be part of the Joy 94.9 Radiothon, Out Loud and Proud. We need people to renew, especially during next week's show. So keep your ears open here on Joy 94.9. We're going to go out with another piece of music, I believe, aren't we?
We are indeed.
This has been Jesse and Tex. Cheerio, folks. Speak to you next week.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Good night, everyone.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.